From a young age, John Connell knew he wanted to leave the farm in Ireland where his family had lived for generations. But after a decade away and dealing with mental health issues, he was drawn back to the land, which promised an escape from the relentless pace of urban life. Immediately, John fell into the rhythms of a calving season in the rural Ireland winter. Despite his time away, life on the farm left no room for self-doubt. He had to make choices about how to best deliver calves, nurture new lambs, and clean barns, knowing that the consequences could mean life or death for his family's livestock. He tells the story in the new book, The Farmer's Son, Calving Season on a Family Farm, and it's a great pleasure to welcome John Connell to the roundtable this morning. John, thank you very much for being with us.
Great to be here, Joe.
What brought you to tell this story of your farming life?
Well, that's a great question. I suppose as a writer, you get told write what you know. And I wrote two books before this. One was about JFK and one was about the Syrian refugee crisis. And the last time I checked, I wasn't Syrian and I certainly wasn't a Kennedy. And I realized that despite all these different things, I'm a farmer's son, and that this was the book that I'd been waiting my whole life to write. And you know, the process of writing it, the first draft all came out in about 6 weeks, and it was the most pleasurable thing I've ever wrote. And I suppose I resisted writing it for quite a long time because I said, who the hell would be interested in cows? But it turns out quite a lot of people. So it's been an amazing journey so far.
Well, it's certainly cows get people, but also this idea of returning home, I think a lot of people can relate to. You spend most of your life as a young person thinking, I want to get the hell out of here. And then you think, oh, I'm drawn back to this place where I started.
Yeah, I suppose when you come from a rural area, you don't see yourself reflected in the media. You know, the stories are urban stories most of the time. And the world out there seemed like such an exciting place, and it was. As a filmmaker and a journalist, I got to see and do things that were just amazing. But I always had there's an Irish word, a Gaelic word, which means uigness, and it means loneliness. And I suppose I had a certain loneliness and a pining for the land and the place that made me. We call it the Bolyagus Baha, the connection you have with the place. And it's a little bit like I worked with Aboriginal people a lot in Australia and also Native American people. And it's that connection to land, to the place that makes you. Now, I didn't intend to come home so soon, but, you know, there had been certain mental health problems, and that was what brought me back. But it was farming that had always been waiting there as the thing that, in a sense, was my birthright.
So just for the geography, you were in County Longford, which is near, for those who are fairly familiar with Ireland, you are near Mullingar, you are near Tullamore, you're right sort of in the center.
We're in the center. It's a limestone region, and you know, the nature of limestone is water pours through it, and sometimes I like to say that it kind of shapes our, it doesn't shape just the rock, but it shapes our souls as well. And it's a really beautiful area. It's not very famous, and it's not on the tourist trail. It's largely a farming community, but it's home, and it's there that I went back to. And Longford does have a strong literary tradition with the poets of Oliver Goldsmith and the writer Maria Edgeworth. So there are links back to a literary past, but the present moment there wasn't anyone else doing any writing there. So I suppose I was touching back in with something after a few hundred years.
So as you're growing up, your responsibilities on the farm were what, and how important was that to you and to the family as a context?
Well, I suppose my father and mother came from farms themselves, from farming families, and they had no land when they started. And my father was a builder, and he did quite well in the boom that years that happened in Ireland. And rather than buy apartments or houses, they put their money into land. And I remember as a 5 year old, we started to buy land and buy cows, and we started off with three cows. And as the farm grew, I grew, and my duties ranged from mucking out houses to driving the tractor and all that. And gradually, as I got older, I suppose as the farm had built around me, I had built around it, and it was the cows and that put me through school and college. So it occupied a very important place, and farming in Ireland is a very central thing. Agriculture is one of our biggest industries, but everyone is connected to the land in some way. And I think it could be like America in the 20s. You know, the farming occupies a special place for people, and farming was that for me. And you know, I start the book with delivering a calf at 29 by myself, which is very late as a farmer's son. But I suppose education is very important in Ireland, and having been a very poor country, we placed a huge amount of emphasis on learning. So I was seen to be someone who had, a few brains, and they wanted me to go on to college. And I suppose as a result, I was told, you know, don't worry about the cows now. Like, yes, they've put you into college, but we want you to have a better chance at life. And, you know, my father and mother hadn't went to college, and it was a big deal. You know, ultimately, I ended up coming back, though. So obviously, the cows had made a bigger impression on me than I thought.
And what was it? What was the reaction when you came back with your parents?
Well, Joe, I suppose to tell you the honest truth, I'd been a journalist and had a production company in Australia, and things went south, and I had some mental health problems, and I came home not on the high dough, as we would say in Ireland. I didn't come home riding high. I came on a pretty low ebb, and my parents were very upset, not annoyed, but very sad to see that their son had been brought to, I suppose, this low level. And ultimately, it was the farm that got me back into life. And through farming, I was able to find a new way of being. And I suppose anyone who's been an emigrant knows that nothing's ever the same when you come back. So I was seeing things with new eyes and seeing the ritual and culture that farming people have, and it was all a new experience, and I remember it very well. I'd been pretty down, and we just got into sheep, and here I was thinking about leaving the world, and then all these sheep are trying to lamb and bring these new babies into the world, and so I was shocked into the moment of now, and the extraordinariness of ordinariness. You know, there is a spark of creativity, and but also spirituality and all of that as well. You can't want to leave when all this new life is coming into the world. So it was a difficult journey for my parents, but ultimately it worked out as it should have, and it made me a better person, and the farm became a way for me to find a new way of being.
You used the word a moment ago, spiritual, but there is that sense, I assume, that the nature, just the beauty of the place and the beauty of the life that is around you has a tremendous impact.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I had to look to America to find that. I at that time, I started reading Henry David Thoreau and getting interested in American transcendentalism, and that is, you know, seeing God in nature, seeing the I don't want to get too crazy into the religion here, but seeing the extraordinariness of the natural world, and there is a restorative quality in that. And I think there's a beauty that comes from woundedness, and it's the beauty that comes is a healing beauty. And you know, a city can give you so much in life, but when you get burnt out, you need to go back to nature to restore yourself. You know, you don't go to a city and you wouldn't go down to New York and say, well, I'm going to have a healing session here. you might try, but it'd be pretty difficult. But
be hard.
You know, you go back to nature, and it, you know, we are animals at the end of the day. And I think it took an American writer to help me understand that. And then from that, I was able to access back into from American transcendentalism into Celtic spirituality, which allowed me to understand, I suppose, the older Celtic beliefs in our society, and they are the exact same as American transcendentalism, and it was just a fascinating journey. And of course, I was someone who travelled my whole life, but I hadn't made the most important journey, which was the journey inside.
John Connell is the author of the new book, The Farmer's Son: Calving Season on a Family Farm. The book is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. It seems in reading the book that you are just slightly removed from what you observed as a child, in the sense that you come in, you know what the routine is, you know what the life is, and yet you may not know how to do it yourself. But there is some osmosis that you have that has entered your pores where you know what needs to be done.
Yeah, I mean, there's a farming is all about routine and ritual. You know, everything is repeated every year. So I suppose I'd seen it for all those years as a kid, but it was coming then as an adult, I had to go, okay, well, actually, it's my turn to do this now. But then, of course, that's where some of the problems happened. I knew how to do the theory of it, but maybe not the practical. But it was there was a learning curve for me. You know, I mean, I start the book with this cow calving, but actually, you know, I've done it so many times now, I don't have to think about it anymore. But that year when I came back, that was a learning year, and it was also a year of reintegrating myself with the farm and not being at the remove anymore, like saying, well, now it's my time, now I have to step up and do this. And it was a steep learning curve, but it was a good one, and it made me appreciate the farm in a whole new way.
There is a scene toward the end of the book where you write about your mother coming home, and you write, she's furious. The cows are roaring and thin, and there is no grass. Her anger is directed at me. I've not been up there for a week or more, I say. That's that they were fine. They're ashamed to me, she says. What will the neighbors say? Oh, my goodness, hasn't everyone heard that from their mother?
Well, my mother's a formidable woman, so I remember that very well. I mean, the winter that I wrote about in that book was one of the worst on record. It rained and rained and rained for months on end, and we had a very difficult time there. And of course, we ran out of feed, silage, and hay, and the animals weren't that thin, but I suppose it was my mother's way of dramatizing the event to make me feel even worse, because I hadn't been there in a week. But everyone's cattle were thin that winter because there was no grass anywhere, and I suppose the extra little bit that's in that you didn't read out. She said, you know, who am I going to pass this farm on to? You're all ashamed to me. You're not doing any work. And that's an age old question.
Sure.
Like for farming families, like, who's going to take over, and are you going to be able to take up the mantle? And that's something that, you know, succession is a worry for every family. But it's not just farming; it's business too. You know, people are like, well, is this wayward son going to come back and come into the fold and help us again? So really, that argument was more about the future, and wondering about the future, and is the future going to be safe? And of course, my father had the same worries too.
And that is the life you decided that you wanted. You wanted to be the person who takes the farm.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, we haven't actually, being a typical farming family, we haven't talked about it yet.
being a typical farming family and a typical Irish family,
yes,
I would say.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the great Omerta. But we didn't talk about it yet. But it's my brother also works with us, and I suppose it's more about my parents are still young. It's about the custodianship of it and what will happen. But I suppose I always intended to, you know, the book jacket says, he never intended to come back. And, you know, sometimes we can say that in publishing. But really, I always did want to come home. I just came home a bit sooner than I thought. But farming was always something that I had just a great love of, and there's a great peace in it, you know. And obviously, it's a business too, you know. But working in cities and all around the world, I loved it, but I always used to feel there was a certain thing missing. And the thing that was missing was the connection with the natural world, and that was the thing I'd grown up with. So that was the thing I missed. And God knows farming's a tough life, but it's also a very noble one. And it's something that we all need. You know, we don't need more accountants as the world's population grows. We need more farmers, you know, who are actually going to be able to feed everyone and do it in a sustainable way, and also helping prevent, you know, all the carbon emissions that are coming out, like farming smart. That's what we need. It's funny, I was watching Interstellar recently, and of course the world is totally ruined at that point, and they're saying, well, you can be a farmer and we need you to be a scientist. And, you know, it's an exciting profession, but it's also one of the oldest in the world.
So health-wise, you're doing okay now.
I am. I'm doing very well. You know, it was that 4-year journey was a very difficult one, but it was also a very important one, because in the end, I ended up writing about my mental health issues and what had happened. And I ended up on public radio in Ireland on a national program. And as I was speaking about my journey, what I didn't realize was there was a man on his way to take his life. And he had heard me speak that day on the radio. And I finished the interview, and the host and me went for a cup of coffee, and we didn't think anything of it. And the next day I was on the farm, and my sister called me and she said, you need to turn on the radio. And there's no nice way to say this, Joe. I was shoveling manure out in the shed, so yeah. I couldn't get to the radio very quickly. But I got to it in the end. And this man had said, you know, I was going to take my life. I had a rope and tablets, and I heard you speak, and you saved my life. And that was the turning point in my whole life. And it allowed me to, I suppose, start this ministry of the word to rural people, to farming families, that, you know, to normalize the conversation around mental health, because we lose too many people. In Ireland, there's 10 suicides a week, and 8 of them are young men, and most of them are in rural areas. So my health is great, but it's made even better by helping other people.
Mm. What do you think accounts for that high statistic? And does the fact that you are on a farm and there are living things that are relying on you that help set the course straight?
Yeah, I think, you know, to answer your first question, I think in rural areas, that's where the highest suicide rates are. We have, you know, people talk about toxic masculinity a lot, but this is the real toxic side of toxic masculinity, is that young men and older middle-aged men don't have the language to talk about this. And the mental health conversation isn't something that's discussed in the open, and it's seen as a weakness. And so these young guys feel totally isolated, and then they happen to live in an isolated, remote area. You know, I'm looking at a globe here as we're talking, and I'm talking about the middle of Ireland, but we could easily be talking about the middle of Colorado or the middle of Arizona. And you know, these are places where your neighbor might be, you know, 5-10 miles away, and you can feel alone. And unless you have community around you, That's what's killing people. You know, we have to have farming isn't about farming on your own. It's about farming in community. But the way the modern world is, everyone wants, we're supposed to be all individuals. But in being individuals, we lose that connection to everyone else around us. And it's the people around us that make us. You know, I often say farming isn't about the animals. It's about people. It's that's the real crux of it. And for me, yeah, it gave me a new balance in life. Through that and exercise, and it gave me a new balance to, as I said, you know, when these animals are coming into the world, all they need is your help. And there is a great shock of the now about that, to bring you back into the present moment, to say, well, yeah, I might be feeling bad, but actually I've got these things to do, and I've got these creatures that depend on me. And if I'm not here, then no one's going to take care of them. And I suppose for me, that's what brought me back to the bright side of life.
Well, the book is beautiful. It is really an unforgettable story. It's The Farmer's Son, Calving Season on a Family Farm. The book is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. John Connell, what a great pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very much for sharing your time with us.
Thank you so much, Joe. Appreciate
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is The Farmer's Son, Calving Season on a Family Farm. John Connell is the author. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.